Today's daf in Masechet Sukkah, brought to you from Yerushalayim, Ir HaKodesh, is daf Vov, and we're holding on daf Hey Amud Beis at two dots. So ask the Gemara, well, actually, I put in the two dots. Sorry. So yesterday, what we had was, we came out that there's a machlokas, if the din that we have of the mechitza of the Sukkah is actually able to be learned directly out of the Beis HaMikdash, or of the Mishkan, the combination, or whether it's a halacha l'meishim Sinai, because according to Rabbi Yehuda, the amos of the kelim were only 5 tvachim, which would have meant that the shear of the sukkah would have been 11 and a half tvachim inside, and therefore the Mishnah, according to Rabbi Yehuda, was a halacha l'meishim Sinai. That was the last thing that we learned. And we brought a raya that there is such a concept, because Rav is quoted as saying that shiurim, chatzitzin, and mechitzin, which means the dinim of the mechitzas, are halacha l'meishim Sinai. Ask the Gemara, once we bring up this idea that shiur is, that means that the amount that you'd have to eat to be chay of a korban, or what would be the shiur of something that would be mitame, and so on and so forth. All of those things are basically a halakha l'meishim Sinai, asks the Gemara, but that isn't true, because we have a whole list of shiurim that we learn out dafka from the posik. Look what it says about Eretz Yisrael. Eretz chita u'sora, gefen u'teina v'rimon, Eretz zechemen u'dvash. And we had the famous drasha, we just had this back in Masechet Sukkah, in Masechet Yoma, that all of the posik, kol ha-posik hazeh l'shiurim ne'amar, each thing is a remez to a different shiur. So let's go through them one by one. It says chita. What is chita about? That's talking about the amount of time that you have to be in a bayit that has a nega, which of course the parak we're starting today, Mirtasha. So a bayit that has a nega is metame if you walk into that bayit. But the Torah gives two completely different shiurim. One is habayil habayit, which is immediate. You walked into the house. But the other is vahaochel, somebody who eats in the house. Now, it turns out that there are, in fact, two completely different dinim of tumas. If somebody walks in or something is brought in, so that thing becomes tameh immediately because of habayil habayit. However, if the person is wearing something, so it's clothing or it's decorations, rings or whatever, those things are not tameh because they are not being brought in on their own. They're basically batal to the person. So there the Torah is giving a different shear. When the person reaches a darga of tumah that is metami begadim that are on him, then those begadim become tame through him. And that is a different shear. For that, you need to be in the house long enough to be an ochel in the bayis. And what does it mean that you're supposed to be eating? That we learn out from chita. It's not hanichnas lebayit hamenuga. So if somebody walks into that house and he is got, basically he just went swimming and he's got his clothing over his shoulder, you know, he's just wearing his bathing suit and he's not even got his shoes on, he's carrying his sandals, he took off his watch, so his watch is in his hand, then everything becomes tummy right away. Hu v'hein t'mein miyad. But what about if he was lavush kelav? What if he's normally dressed and he's got his sandals on his feet and he's got his watch on his arm? So then the idea is that uta me miyad vein torina chiyishhe, they are tohar until such time as he was in the house a long enough time to eat b'chdei achilas, but doesn't have to actually eat, but he needs to be able to eat the shear of a half a loaf. Remember, the loaf that we're talking about over here is referring to the shear that we had for Erevin, which is a suda, shtei suda. So over here, a pras is one suda, because we have another chatzi, what we're talking about, a chatzi pras, is basically one suda. And the amount for the Erev would be is a half a suda, and the Erev would be the shear of the shtei su'udas. So this would be pas chitim, but it depends what it is that you're eating, doesn't it? I mean, some things can be eaten rapidly, some things you have to chew well. So there's a difference between eating wheat bread and eating barley bread, which takes more time to chew, and you have to therefore allow more time for the shihia. But if we're talking about pas chitim, it's a chumrah, because it means you're going to be tummy more rapidly. And you're doing this concentrating on your eating. So you're meisev, so you're reclining the way you normally eat, and you're eating it beliftan. You're eating it with something on it that makes it easier to consume. You've got some jam on it or some butter, whatever, and that makes it easier. So the idea of chita is a reference to this specific unusual shir of the shir of achilas pras. The next thing that we have in the pasuk of the Shivas Hamini is Sa'ira. What is Sa'ira referring to? Oh, that's what we learned in Oyalais. Etzem kisa'ora is matambi b'magu b'masa v'ena matambi b'oil. So even though that if you would have rov minyan of binyan, and you have shidra v'gugolet, it would be matame b'oil. But if you have only a small piece of bone, then it's matame b'magu b'masa, but only the shear of a Sa'ira. That's the next remez, gefen. What is gefen maramis to? So even though Rashi back in Erevin said that Geffen is meramish to the shear of a revius for a nozer, that Estosfus Tain is there, it doesn't really make much sense. Because all of the other things that we're talking about, and Rashi over here changes his mind, all the other things that we're talking about are the definitions, the source of the definition of the shear, not just a remis to a shear. I mean, you're telling me Geffen, that's what it is that you're drinking? I mean, I thought we're talking about how much you're drinking. So actually, over here, Rashi follows the pshat of the other Rishonim, that when it comes to a nazir, remember that a nazir is usur not only in drinking wine, but he can't eat any parts of the grapes, dried grape, can't eat raisins. How many raisins? Well, the shear would be not, interestingly enough, I mean, it's a machlokas, but according to the Man Yomar holds that the shear is not a kezias, even though it's an achila, because when it comes to the nazir, we're basically talking about the same shear as the revius. Now, how do you determine the shear of a revius if you're talking about raisins? I mean, that's a dry measure. It's not a liquid measure. So what we do is we measure the displacement of a revius. So you take a cup of liquid and you put in raisins until you've displaced the revius, and that is the shear of the achila. Now, the question is, what is the liquid in the cup? That's what the pasuk is coming to Meramis. Because certainly the viscosity of the liquid and its surface tension is going to define a different number of raisins that you put into the cup in order to achieve the displacement of the revius. And therefore, where we are talking about the difference between water as a source of the measurement of displacement, or wine as the source of displacement, as Rashi points out, the surface tension of wine is greater, and therefore you will need more raisins to be able to displace the wine, because you will simply be adding a little bit more wine that's going to go over the top of the cup without pouring out. And therefore, the shear of Geffen is not about the revias per se, it's about the same way that the chita is not about the shear of the chita, the size of the chita. The chita is about what it is that it's going to be comprised of. The gefen is the shear of what the liquid is that we're displacing. The next thing in the pasuk was teina, which are figs. Where do we have a shear of a fig? When it comes to the hotzah of Shabbos, remember all of the foods, all of them with a shear of a dried fig, which is a grogeret. So that's the remez to that shear. Then we had Rimon. Ah, Rimon, we know what that's all about because we had so many different sugyas in Kalim about Rimon. We're over there, the Mishnah in Kalim says, Ko klei ba'ale batim, shioran k'rimonim. Now this, even though Rashi explains over here that what we're talking about is klei eight, remember that we also had the sugya in Kalim that talks about if you were miyache to kli cheres, to utilize it for Rimonim, then it's still going to be makabel Tuma until it's Kamotzi Rimon as well. So the Stam Klei Bali Batim by Klei 8, if there's a hole in it and it still holds Rimonim, is Tame. That's not true about a Klei Cheres unless it was Miyuchad for the use for something the size of Rimonim. The next thing that we mention is Eretz Zeit Shemen. What does that mean? Zayit, that's all the Shiorim are Kizeitim, right? Kol Shioreah Kizeitim. What are you talking about? What do you mean, kol shiurei? You just listed all these other things. What is that supposed to mean? Kol shiurei sakadaita. No, I mean, the idea over here is, I mean, ha'ikanin amrinan, what about all the other ones? No, what we meant was, ema sherov shiurei kizetim. So whether we're talking about the shiur of tumas meis, which is the kizayas of the basar of meis, or we're talking about tumas nevelas, which is also a shiur of kizayas, or we're talking about the achila of pigol, neiser, tome, chelev, so on, we're talking about the chi of chatas. Basically, overwhelming cases are going to be involved in a shear of kizayis. And what about dvash? Well, dvash is what we just spent all Masechet talking about. That's Masechet Yomah, where the shear over there, because it's not defined by achila, and kizayit is only a definition of achila, the act of achila. Masha'inkim, when it comes to Yom Kippur, over there, what we're talking about is the shear that is a violation of inui nefesh. Okay, so that is a different shear, and that is a larger shear. The shear of a kokotevet hagasa, that's a nice, delicious, juicy, big date. Legabe, the shear of Yom Kippur. Anyway, so if this is a pasuk, why did we say it's halacha l'mashe misinai, and Rav says that shiurim chatzitzin, they're halacha l'mashe misinai? We see from Rav Chanin that they're actually a d'oraisa based on this pasuk. No, says the Gemara. I mean, come on, what do you mean? You honestly believe that the things that are mentioned in this pasuk are a mocker, d'oraisa, to learn out the list of issues that we spoke about? I mean, do you see anything in the pasuk that relates to shiurim? What, it said something about an etzem kisaora, or it said something about nega? I understand. Obviously, we're taking this pasuk and we're using each one of these things as a remez to a shiur that we know from somewhere. I mean, there's no possible way for us to take the posik as the makor, is it? So obviously it's hilchata ninu, and that's what Rav was saying, that the real makor of the din is halacha l'mashe misinai. The posik is an esmachta b'yalma. So basically they're not innate to the posik, and here's where the Rambam gives his definition of esmachta, which the Ritva is very angry about, and he says it borders on minus, chas mila haskir, which is the way most people understand. The idea of an esmachta is that the posik had no intention whatsoever of mentioning any of this stuff. It's that the Chachomim, who had the Kabbalah of the halacha l'mashe misinai, in order that there should be a way in which we could be remember all of these things. So it's a fantastic pasuk to put together so many of the different dinim that we had in Masechet Kelim, and we spoke about a lot of different shiurim over there. Here's a pasuk that does basically the same thing. So they utilized the pasuk in an artificial way, essentially. They utilized the pasuk. Fine. Menachem, are you up? I know that you've made great progress in the past 50 years. There's no question. It used to take only 10 seconds for the snoring to start. You and Richie were up there, let me tell you. But I did notice that the last year, whatever, 20 years ago, you mamish, you were the guy that was more up than me, so I want to make sure that the Daf Yomi is still good. Okay. Anyway, the Ritva, as I said, Chas Milaskir. Oh, that's no good. What does it really mean? So the Ritva says the meaning of an Esmachta is that the Torah is actually being Merames to these issues, and it allows you to implement those Remozim Lefi the Das of the Chachomim, so that when the Chachamim feel that it's necessary to apply such a thing, so they apply it. Lamaisa, the Achronim point out that there's really many different types, actually three different types of Esmachtas. Some of them that fit the Rambam's definition, others that are extensions of a halacha in the Torah that really is talking about that sugya, let's say Lagabi Tumas Yadayim, where we really are talking about Tuma. And others that there's no real remez to in the pasuk itself, and that over there, there may be that the Ritva would hold that these things, by the way, they point out there's an afkamina la halacha, because if the Gemara held that this was actually the din in the pasuk, so then for sure it would have meant that we would have had to utilize the peres of Eretz Yisrael in order to define the shiurim, because it was talking about Eretz Chita V'Seira. And therefore, if those peros are larger peros, which was the part of the shevach of Eretz Yisrael, was the massive size of the peros b'shas bidyana, so then it would have been a greater shear. So then the question is, if you're telling me that it's a real esmachta, the way the Ritva is understanding it, maybe that's even true. Okay. Answers the Gemara, that it's akra is esmachta b'yam. Okay, so now we understand what Reb Yehuda was talking about, and the idea of Rav is that it's be'etzem halacha lo shemi sinai. But there's another problem, because you've only described over here the dinim of shiurim. But what about chatzitzin? Chatzitzin is a chatzitza on you that prevents you from becoming Torah, or prevents a kli from becoming Torah because it's not properly in the mikvah. I don't understand. That's a pasuk. It's a preferish pasuk. It says in the pasuk, v'rachatz et bisaro b'mayim, right? What does bisaro b'mayim mean? We just say v'rachatz b'mayim. So bisaro b'mayim means that your external covering, which is called your skin, so it's your actual flesh, has got to be in the water. You can't be wearing something between your skin and the water. So it's in the pasuk. And that shelo yeh davar chatzitz beino levein amayim. So how in the world could we suggest that that's a dirab, that that's what, a halacha lo shemi sinai? No, that there is a halacha. However, it's true that, of course, the basic din of a mechitza is certainly in the pasuk. But what would you say about your hair? Does your hair have to be also without a chatzitza? It says bisaro. Bisaro doesn't include your hair, does it? So, I mean, suppose you go to the mikvah, and some of your hair is sticking out of the water. So that is not going to the mikvah. But suppose you've got a little bit of dirt on your hair. So then, okay, so then where does it say that each hair has to be exposed directly to the water? So kiata yelchata is lisaro, kidaraba barbachana. Rabba barbachana pointed out that nima achat kishura chotzetzet. If you have one single hair that has a knot in it, and we'll see, it's talking about that you're makbid on that hair. You don't want knots in your hair. So if it's a knot in a single hair, it prevents water from entering the space of the knot. If you have three hairs that are knotted together because of the structure of hair, it doesn't really interfere with the penetration of the water because it doesn't have any softness that allows one to be bent into the other at all. And because of that, it's not going to be a chatzitza. That's for sure. I don't know, said Rabbi Barbach. I don't know what the din is of shtayim. I was not mekabel whether two hairs is not going to allow water in, or maybe even two hairs is something that is just too hard to be properly tied together. Okay, so where does that come from? That is what Rav was saying. That is how halacha l'mashe misinai, that there's a concept of chatzitza on sa'arot. Says the Gemara, no. It's also the pasuk. Read the pasuk again, okay? Saro nami dioraitaninu. Dichti, v'rachatz et bisaro b'mayim. Why does that say et bisaro? So it's v'rachatz bisaro b'mayim. What is the et adding over there? Et always adds anything which is ancillary to. So et would mean even something which is tafel v'saro. It's not your actual skin, but it's keratin from your skin. And what's that? Saro. So you see that it says beferish in the pasuk that you have to be tevel the sar b'mayim. True. That's true. But nonetheless, when Rav says that you need a halakha l'moshe misinai, that's coming to tell me a particular issue, which is Rabbi Yitzchak. The Omar Rabbi Yitzchak, this halakha of chatzitzes has two different applications. And one is that in terms of the Dioraisa, which is the halacha l'moshe misinai, the meaning of a chatzitza of sa'ar is rubo umakpid alav, then it's chotzitz. So if you, now this is the way Rashi seems to be learning the sugya, is big machlokas rishonim, about whether what we're basically coming out with here is that sa'ar is a different set of dinim. And that this entire discussion is a reference to sa'arot, not to kol gufo, which would mean that there would be two different ways of managing the dinim of chatzitzos. Because a chatzitza in the sa'ar would be defined by the rov of the sa'ar. a chatzitza on the body is defined by rov of the body. Now, obviously, if you hold it to two different sets, that's a tremendous chumrah. Because according to those Rishonim who hold that it's, no, obviously it would only be one din of chatzitza, which is coming to include your sar in the chatzitza. So then even if you had a chatzitza over your entire sarot, if your body is still not chatzutz, then it would be a kosher, mitam alokal meshvisinai, it would still be a kosher tefillah. It would only be a derabbanan problem because you might be makbid on even the miut. But the way Rashi and other Rishonim learn, there's a special, that's the way the Rambam understands. According to Rashi, there's a special concept of sa'ar. And that sa'ar is dafka if you would have a rubo umakbid alav, that's a chatzitza. But if you don't care, even if it's a rov, or then it's not chotzitz. And the question over here, the additional question, is that the pashtus of Rashi is like this, which is also a tremendous chiddush. Suppose you have every other hair on your head knotted to itself. Now, the overwhelming surface area of the hair is not chatzutz. The mashma'ut in Rashi, and the way most of the achronim understand Rashi, and understand the halakha, which goes like this, is that you don't look at the surface area of the hair. You look at the hairs, the number of hairs, which is a tremendous chiddush. That for sure we would only know from halakha l'Bashmi Sinai, which is why it would be a completely different concept. So if a hair has one knot in it, so then, oops, okay, that hair is considered to be chatzutz. Let's analyze the number of hairs that have knots. If it's rove of the hair, so then even though I could barely make out the area that's knotted, then that's considered to be a diorita, meaning halakha l'Bashmi Sinai, chatzitza, assuming that you're makben on it. Now, not all of the achronim agree to that. The Avdei Nezer, l'mashal, understands that l'chora must be talking about that you've got these single knots, but you single knot all along the hair, such as the rove of the actual surface of the hairs is knotted. Okay, but that's an unusual shita. Most understand that it's a din in the hair. That, obviously, we'd never be able to learn that out of a pasuk, right? So, I mean, that is clear that it would have to be halakha l'Bashmi Sinai, such a thing. So, furthermore, you would need not only the rov defined that way, but you would also need hakpada, according to this halakha. The Chachomim came along and they said, look, if it's a rov, then even if you're not makbid, because it's easy to get that confused with the din of the rov where you would be makbid and people may not know the difference. So because of that, any rov is ipso facto chatzitza. And they also were gozer on the miut where you are makbid because of its similarity to cases of the rubo hamakbid. So anything that you're makbid on and you want to make sure that you will not use this object or you will not allow your body to be continue to be in with this ink on it or whatever it is, over there we were gozer mishum rubo hamakpid. So wait a minute. I mean, then why don't we just gozer on the whole thing? And why don't we gozer on a miut she'eno makpid? I mean, you're going to make gzeira, so then it shouldn't be similar at all to the case where you have any level of akpar or any level of chatzitza whatsoever. So why don't we just take the gzeira the whole way and say a miut that you're not makpid on, we're going to be gozer because of a miut that you would be makpid on. And you said that minarabonin, a miut that you would be makpid on, the rabbanan asered. Or why aren't we gozer because of a rov? Well, you're not makpid, and we should be also gozer the miut that ain't no makpid. Well, says the Gemara, because look, the entire extension of the halakha, just the rov or just akpad, is itself a gezer de rabbanan. He gufa gezera. So what we're going to have to make now a gezera to the gezera that if we allow you a miut she'eno makpid, so you may come to do a miut that is makpid. And what's going to be? If you come to a miut that you are makpid on, you'll be over under rabbanan. We don't make a gezera under rabbanan. That, by the way, is merumas in the Torah. That the mishmeret lemishmarti is what we learn. That you're mechuyev to make an extension to what I care about, not to what you care about. So that means that the concept of gezera legezera is exed by the Torah. Because of that, we're certainly not going to go up and make a gezera legezera. Okay, now let's get the third one. The third thing that we said shiurim, chatzitzin, and now we're talking about mechitzin. Okay, so what do you mean, mechitzin? I'm assuming you mean what we just discussed, right? That the din of a mechitza is that it has to be 10 tefachim high. Now, wait a second. Didn't we learn out, according to Rabbi Meir, didn't we learn that out from the Orein and the Kaporet? How come we're saying now it's a halacha l'meshem Sinai? I mean, I understand according to Rabbi Yehuda where we didn't have a good marker because he held that the Amma Shel Kelim was an Amma of Chamisha Tfachim. Okay. But why is Rav saying, according to Rabbi Meir, that a mechitza, the din of a mechitza is learned out halacha l'meshem Sinai? Michael Amemar, I thought we learned it from the Pasuk. We did learn out that thing from the Pasuk, but for heaven's sakes, that's not all of the din of mechitzas, is it? I mean, this Masechet is going to be full of the craziest dinim of Mechitza we already saw in Masechet Erevin, and that would be that, is it there a din of good? We have good Asik, we have good Achit, we have Pitikra, Yored Vesotem, which is also a form of good. We have the din of Lovud, we have the din of Dofen Akuma. I mean, where we would never be able to come up with such halachas. Those are all halacha l'meshem Sinai. Those are dinim of mechitzas, not to mention the very next case, which Gwen's going to talk about, like why don't we include that? We said if the sukkah doesn't have three walls, there's a new halacha about the third wall. Tana Rabbanan, Shtayim ki Yochatan, Ushlishit afilu tefach. When we say that a sukkah needs three walls, what we mean is it needs two full walls, a full wall, of course, being defined by the minimal shear of the sukkah, which was itself a machlokas, whether that was the shiva or that was the arba, according to Rebbe. But whatever it is, two of the walls need to be full walls, but the third wall only needs to be one tefach long. Whereas Rebbe Shimon says, no, you need three walls, kehilchatan, and that was what we're talking about, the sukkah that doesn't have three walls, but you also need a fourth semi-wall, which is a tefach, and that's all it needs. So what really is the machlokas based on over here between the Rabbanan and Rebbe Shimon? Do we need three walls that are reduced to two plus a tefach, or do we need four walls that are reduced to three plus a tefach, utilizing the halacha l'meshem Sinai? There's a number of different ways of understanding this machlokas. I mean, what we could say, b'pashtas, is that this revolves around the fundamental question of where we have a kri and a chtiv, which one do we take as being primary? Is it the kri or is it the chtiv? So we know that when the Torah talks about sitting in the sukkah, there's a lot of differences between kri and ktiv, because what it says over there is basukot teshvu shivat yamim kol ezrach b'Yisrael yeshvu besukot leman yedu dorotechem ki basukot toshavtes b'nei Yisrael. So it mentions three times in that pasuk sukkot. The thing is, though, that the first two mentions, basukot, if you don't, you ask a kid to read it from the Sefer Torah, there's no vav in that word, and he'll read it as besukat teshvu shivat yamim. Kol ezrach b'Yisrael yeshvu besukat, because there's no vav. Only the last one he'll read properly, ki basukot, because that one does have a vav. Fine. So that means that there's a difference between the way that it was given over. We call this Mitzorah because Moshe Rabbeinu gave the Sefer Torah to us in our hands, right? He wrote the Sefer Torah and he gave it to us. How did he give it to us? What was written in it? So that's the given, so to speak. Mitzorah. This doesn't mean Mitzorah in the way in which we were Mekabel. It means that which was handed physically over to us. And then we have the way that it's read. That's a Mitzorah. So it's a little confusing, right? So the Mitzorah is the way that it's written. And the Mikra is the way that it's read. So the question is, what is more primary? And that's called aim. What is the underlying, like Mother Earth? What's the mother lode? What's the mother meaning? That's the question. So is the mother meaning based on what's written, or is the mother meaning based on what way we read it? So the Rabbanan hold that the way that it was written is the actual mother meaning. So therefore, what we have here is basukat. Okay, sukat is one. Basukat is another one. Basukot, now that's two. So one plus one plus two equals four. So that means we have a total number of four mentions of a sukkah. Okay, one of them, of course, is the Iker Mitzvah. So I mean, we can't use that as a number that we can count towards Bechitzas. Okay, so subtract one. Dal Chad V'Gufe, you're left with three. And that three is defined by Halacha L'Mashmi Sinai, that one of the walls of the sukkah can be reduced to just one tefach. So therefore, we're left with Shtayim Kilchatan, comes along the Halacha and tells us when it comes to the final wall of the sukkah, according to Rabbanan, the final wall of the sukkah is the third wall, all you need is a tefach, and therefore, that's what the Halacha is about. Whereas Rabbi Shimon says, no, the aim, the mother load of the Torah is the way that it's read, Lamikra. The way that it's read is Basukot, two. Basukot, another two. Basukot, another two. Gives us a total of six. Now you have to take off the first pasuk, which is the first two, because the Basukot is coming to tell me just the din. Sit in the sukkahs. Okay, great. But we're still left with four. And those four remuzim of the sukkah are four walls. Therefore, comes along the halacha to tell me, those four walls mean three full walls, and then one of them, the final wall, which according to me now means the fourth wall, so now we're left with only the need for a tefach. Okay, that's the simplest way of understanding. The problem is, of course, that that is a very primary argument about how to darshan the Torah bichlal, and that perhaps is not their machlokas. I mean, I don't want to necessarily say that that's the machlokas. Let me give you another possibility. Maybe everybody agrees that the way we read it is the most aim. That's the mother load. And what it is that they're arguing about is whether the fact that you need to have sichacha, do you need a mentioning of the nature of schach or not? Because if the word sukkah means schach, it doesn't just mean a hut. In other words, what would you say about, like, taking a board, leaning it up against a wall, okay? Would that be called a sukkah in terms of the Torah? Because, I mean, so does it need sichacha? So that's the question. So according to the Rabbanan, we need to actually have a remez to the concept of schach, in which case we only have out of the mentionings over here of the six. That means we have six. So we have to take over here a two go out because we need it for the mitzvah. We're left, therefore, only with four, and we still need a remez that we must have sechach on the sukkah, and that leaves us with only three, and therefore comes along the halacha, and it reduced it by one. Whereas Rabbi Shimon holds that, no, the word sukkah means schach, and therefore I don't need a pasuk to tell me that it has to be made in such a way that there is schach, and that it provides tzel, and therefore we're left with four, which means we have four walls, except that the halacha l'mashmi Sinai reduces the fourth wall. That's another possibility. I'll give you another possibility. It's a third possibility, okay? Maybe everybody holds the opposite. Maybe everybody holds that actually the way it's written is the most fundamental issue. And therefore, the question over here is, if we only have four remuzim, sukkat, sukkat, sukkot, so the difference between the Rabbanan and Rabbi Shimon would be like this. The Rabbanan hold mar savar ki ata yilchata legarea, umar savar ki ata yilchata lehosif. Now, this, according to the Rosh, this is a general question. It's not limited to the halacha l'mashmi Sinai that we're talking about over here. And there's a general question about where a halacha provides you a different definition of something than its standard definition. So over here, we understand the standard definition is defined by the nature of the bayit of a sukkah, which would be arba al arba, according to Rebbe, because that's the nature of bayit, whatever. Or the 7x7, or the 6x6, if you don't need shulchan, a little bit of beit sila, whatever. But when a halacha comes along, it's coming to be megareya, to make things easier for you. Whereas the Rabbi Shimon holds, no, the halacha is coming to make things tougher, and that it's adding, look, you could get away with three walls if you've got that additional tefach on the fourth wall. Okay, so then that would be the machlokas, and therefore we don't have to say it has anything to do with the machlokas of the H. Aim Lamik. Okay, I'll give you another explanation. Well, here's the fourth explanation. Maybe I could tell you that even that's clear. Everybody agrees that the halacha is coming to make things, legarea, make things easier for you. Everybody agrees that Yesh Aim Lamasoret, and therefore we have basically four different remuzim in the leftovers we have. Four, because we're going according to the way it's written and not according to the way it's pronounced. So what's the question? How do we come up, Aliba de Rabbi Shimon, with an extra wall? Ah, the question is like this. Where the Torah goes out of its way to add additional ramazim to something that's already been said instead of using pronouns. So we'll have over here, basukot, basukot, basukot. I mean, you could have said, in them, you know. I mean, what's the basukot? So everybody always understood that the additional mentions of the basukot were coming to be ramazim to the actual number of mechitzas that you need in the sukkah, right? Now the question is, once the Torah went out of its way to start a series in which there are ramazim in the series, does a series redefine the beginning of the series, which is normally what defines a series, right? Okay, so in other words, if you tell me just random numbers, all right, so you tell me 1, 5. Okay, fine, 1 and 5. If you tell me 1, 5, and 9, oh, so now I take a look at the 1 as being part of the series of +4, right? So, but that means that I see the 1 as part of the series. What's the din when a halacha keeps adding and creates a series? So if we would have just said basukot, fine. I would certainly not be able to tell me, well, it says basukot, that tells me the number of walls of the sukkah. That would be silly. But now that we're going on and creating a series that is adding numbers, is there a right to utilize the first member of the series to add another wall? That is called the question of dorshim techilot. Can you go back to include the original mention in the numbers? And according to Rabbi Shimon, yes, we can. So therefore, even though we said, well, we got to take out one of these, even though we take it out, we can go back to the beginning. And now we have a completely out of left field new explanation for Rabbi Shimon. Nothing to do with the basukot, basukot, basukot. Rav Masna says, look, it's very simple. Remember that when we're talking about the nature of a sukkah, we said there was a remez to the nature of sukkah from Yeshayahu, that it says over there, V'sukkah t'yel etzel yomem yomam mechorev, ulamachsel, mistor, mizeram, mimatar, that there is going to be, and we utilized this pasuk before, I mean, that was the machlokas that we had earlier, right in the beginning of the Masechet, whether sukkah t'yel etzel, that was Rabbi Zera, that it needs to be letzel. Here we're taking it further. It also needs to be at least a protection from a storm, right? Now, how in the world are you going to be protected from a storm if you only have 3 walls and you're open on the 4th side? Therefore, it's clear that it's meant to be 4 walls. And therefore, the idea would be that the halacha is coming to be megareya. Fine. Okay, so the question over here is obviously, can we be relying on this Rav Masna, or is Rav Masna adding, because this is a pasuk in Yeshayahu, I mean, we can't really utilize a pasuk in Yeshayahu, can we? So the idea over here would be that this is just a remez that in this case where we have already that the pasuk is, could be darshan by Dorshim Tchilais, that Rav Masna is adding to this idea of Dorshim Tchilais, that in this case, because of the Pasuk Yeshayahu, it's telling you that it's taking for granted that we should be Dorish that 4th wall as well. Okay. All right, let's do a little bit more. Oto Tefach Echad Ma'amido. Okay, you're telling me it's a Tefach. Where do you put the Tefach? So Amar Rav, Ma'amido Kineged HaYotze. Now, this big machlokas over here, which we'll talk about the details of the sugya tomorrow. I just want to make sure we finish the daf. So what you do is you put it facing one of the opposite walls. So in other words, you have a 90-degree angle of those 2 walls, right? So one of them is on, let's say, the northern side of the sukkah, the other one is on the western side of the sukkah, or one of them is on the southern side, whatever. And what you do is you would put that single tefach, and this is the way that most Rishonim learn, we'll see tomorrow at Tzimach Lokas, you would put that single tefach like it shows here in the picture that's included in the Rashi, that as if there were a 3rd wall, which was the mashmaot, that it's basically taking the place of the 3rd wall. So wherever that 3rd wall would have been, you shrink the 3rd wall by bringing it back to where it's attached to the other wall, And that's your third wall. Yes, the Gemara, Amri L'Rav Kana V'Rav Asi L'Rav. I mean, but that's not the most effective utilization of the concept of the third wall. Because, I mean, how do you know that the Torah is not telling you to utilize the ideas of the graphical constructs that your brain always supplies? Look, I mean, that's a very important halacha. Remember, we just spoke about the idea of diyumdin. Diyumdin are really utilizing the brain's ability to fill in a mechitza, right? Now, if you're going to put the wall the way you just described it, you are not activating any kind of graphic perception of a wall by putting a little piece at the end. Masha Einkein, if you would put the piece at the end in such a way that it is now on the diagonal that the brain draws between the ends of the two walls, so you wouldn't have noted the diagonal until all of a sudden, oh, look, here's this piece that is bent towards the diagonal, so it comes out like a triangle at the edge of the wall, or like a horn on the head of a bull, so to speak, which is not the horn, but the face of a bull is called the Rosh Tur because it's high on top and comes down on the bottom. So this should be the best way, and you don't have a right to apply it in the other way that you're saying. That would just be flat out, because why do I see a mechitza that way? If I do it on the diagonal, now there I got a mechitza. Now, it's a machlokas, seems to be a machlokas Rashi and Tosfos, to those who have slightly different gears than Rashi, whether the Rosh Tor means specifically the way that picture appears in your edition, so that it's right at the end of the wall, the same place where we were learning the Tefach was, or the way Tosfos takes for granted, if we're actually activating the brain's sense of diagonal, then the Rosh Tor would be anywhere on the diagonal, say in the middle of the wall, which was, oh, what's that? Oh, that's the diagonal, of course. So you would put it along the diagonal is what we're saying, not that the piece itself has to create the shape of the Rosh Tor. And then, therefore, because of that, Tosfos gets into the problem. Why don't we say, like we said in Erevin, that Avira the Haigis, if the Haigis is Mevato, because you have Rov being open. All of those things we'll talk about tomorrow. Anyway, Shosik Rav. Rav did not respond. There's a question in the Rishonim about whether that means he didn't respond because he didn't have an answer or because he didn't feel it was worthwhile even responding. And in fact, it's Mashma, the latter, because the Gemara continues to say, Itmar Nami, Omar Shmo Mishbeta Levi. Look, Shmo said the same thing as Rav, okay? Nobody said that there's something wrong. Ma'amido kineged hayotzei, v'chein morin be'medrasha, ma'amido kineged hayotzei. That actually, we should do it the way Rav said, not as a Rosh Tor.